May it please the court.
Certainly.
Danny Miller on behalf of the petitioner. And I'm going to handle this pretty much like the rebuttal portion of a closing argument, because to do anything else would bore you, and I'm boring enough as it is for those of you who know me.
We've never found you boring, Mr. Miller.
Well, thank you, Judge. Thank you, Your Honor. In response to some of the questions, I would basically, Judge Fisher's questions about 2915 and 24035 in terms of why they don't apply, and my response as to why they don't apply is slightly different. And it's, I think it's because the United States Supreme Court says they don't apply. That in the, if you look at that Fiore case, Judge, basically it says that the, we got to satisfy the federal due process clause, which trumps any other rule that would be applicable. And I think that's what Fiore and Buckley say. And if I'm wrong in conjunction with that, I'm wrong. But I think that's what those two say, and I think that compels the court to consider the idea of habeas relief in conjunction with these circumstances, because indeed, if those were not the law, being the Fiore and Buckley, and that habeas did not still apply, I'm a little short on a lot of times what the office of habeas would be, except for instance, in conjunction with the ruling that's where the Supreme Court says the death penalty no longer applies. In terms of the interpretation or creation of new law, I think there's only one circumstance here wherein we can have new law created. And the only circumstance where we can have new law created is if this court takes out a big red pen and strikes through the words of that portion of 3 of that statute, which says where value is an element of the offense. That's creation of new law. That's this court judicially creating or judicially legislating new law, in my opinion. Because the fact that the statute, now is it a pathetically worded statute? You bet. As many members of this court knows, I worked over there for 4 years, so I'm familiar with some of the products that that come out of there. That one's not good. But I just, there's no way that you can resort to rules of construction to say that. Can't do it. Without coming in there and going, well, you know what, in order to try to still keep felony stealing, we're going to go back and in essence rewrite the statute.
But why can't we look at those three circumstances where value is a factor that must be a fact that must be found by the jury?
Well, and Judge, the reason why you can't do that is because the preface to that, before any of those subsections apply, it's got to be triggered by the preface of where value is an element. If you don't trigger that, then the rest of those don't apply.
Well, it says if value is an element, when value is an element, if the stealing is over 500, why can't that fit both? I don't understand why the element has to be different in order to trigger it. If one of those 18 subsections, and in fact three of them, make value an element of the conviction of a Class C felony, why isn't that sufficient? Why does it have to be a different element that supplies the value as opposed to one of the 18?
Judge, it's not, basically the reference says, in essence, these apply, these 18 enumerations apply to any offense wherein value is an element.
Why isn't it self-referential, I guess?
What?
Why isn't it self-referential? I understand what you're saying. It's not articulate. I'm not suggesting that. But in fact, where they do add in the value element later on in one of those subparagraphs, why isn't that adequate under the statute?
Judge, because without triggering the offense other than within the within the definition of where the enhancements are, you know, you cannot take and go for any time that X, Y, or Z occurs, it's A, and then go okay. Within that definition, you create, because that is a reference to, and any offense where value is an element has to be a reference to an offense. Because there's not an offense created within otherwise, Judge, you have to have an offense wholly contained within subsection 3, and that's not the case. If the offense were wholly contained in subsection 3, I'd agree with you. But that offense is not wholly contained within 3. It requires that you go up to 1. And you can't then go, okay, this is wholly contained, but you got to add something to it.
So does 3 add any meaning to the statute at all?
You know, I'd like to, I mean, to that statute,
mm-hmm.
No. Whether or not that it does to any other statute is a question that I think is beyond the purview of what we're here about today.
It has to be another stealing statute.
Yeah.
So we can look at other stealing statutes, and if we find there's nothing that it applies to, are we then allowed to consider, could the legislature have intended this to mean nothing?
Judge, this is a box. There's no question about it, because the thing of it is that you're stuck with one of two things. Either a provision which may not have any meaning, but in order to give it meaning, you got to rewrite it. And that's a box. Because the idea of it is that
you can't rewrite things. We've said that too.
Right. You can't rewrite things, and you're stuck then. You know, you got to decide which way you're going to go on that. You either got to rewrite it or go, well, guess what? That one really probably didn't mean anything.
Or is there a third where you can look at what we think they meant by that language?
Judge, you can't do that. You in order to think, go, guess what they meant, whenever you can't do that whenever you have to ignore the plain wording.
Well, if you read the language in 1 and 3 together, where 1 may not be, 1 may be plain and ordinary in and of itself, but when it is read with 3 and read with 3 subsection or subparagraph 1 and K and P, does it become ambiguous, and then we can harmonize and not just decide what we think they should have done, but decide what they did, but with very poorly drafted language.
Yeah, and Judge, I hold the opinion that it's a bridge too far, namely that you know it goes up to once and goes, this is stealing. 1, it says this is what stealing is in sub 1. And then it goes down to, it is a offense that is a felony if you hit the trigger, C felony if you hit the triggers in C. But the first preference to the trigger to hit it, that you got to hit to make it a felony, is that value's got to be an element of the offense. And I mean, as I said, it's not an enviable position that I think the court is particularly in at this particular moment. But, you know, thankfully, you guys didn't create it. They did. As I said, Judge, I just don't see how you can get there without wholesaling rewriting that provision. I just don't see it. In terms of the interpretation, in terms of whether or not that it is a clarification or new law, I'm short on how that there would be new law in conjunction with this absent a change in a statute. I would analogize it to this. Whenever Christopher Columbus sailed off to the New World, and everybody knew he was going to fall off the edge of the earth, because the earth was flat. Lo and behold, he ends up in Florida. Did he create new principles of construction of this planet? No. All we did was get an understanding of what always was. And I would suggest to you that that is precisely where we are here today, and where Basil put us, is the fact that a whole bunch of people missed what the interpretation would be, much like a whole bunch of people who were really bright thought the world was flat, and then we learned it wasn't. So that's really kind of my new versus new interpretation versus the the idea of a clarification. And the concept that there are 12,000 people who are incarcerated under this, I'm a little short on how that doesn't slice in favor of the idea of this court setting it straight in conjunction with this case and getting, I don't know that it makes our state a better place to have people who really only committed a misdemeanor incarcerated for felonies. It doesn't add anything to the budget of our state. It doesn't do anything. I think it basically cuts in favor of granting the relief on habeas to, you know, have people who didn't commit a felony that we're not spending money on. In terms of the issues of, because I've heard here today, obviously, that there is no issue with regard to the manner in which this relief is sought for, of habeas versus anything else, and mostly that we're really focused on the idea of whether or not that it was an offense. I can't say anything that I can think of as I stand here that in any way clarifies it any better than what I have, so let's sit down and shut up.
Thank you.
Thank you, Judge.
May it please the court, I just ask if the court has any further questions at this time, since the issues have been pretty thoroughly aired.
Any questions?
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Do you have rebuttal to that, Mr. Miller?
Not even I can think of anything to say in response to that. Thank you guys for your time and taking the whole morning for these cases, and that obviously it's a pretty significant issue, and thanks a ton, guys.
Again, we thank all of the attorneys for their good argument this morning. The case is submitted.